Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Hello, welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I'm joined by Natalie from Novatic. She is the head of growth and product marketing. And if you have been on LinkedIn for any length of time, there are two Natalies. It's Corporate Natalie and Natalie from Novatic. So Natalie, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, just as famous as Corporate Natalie, definitely.
Very obvious. Now, here's the big question. Who's your Ross?
Ooh, well, so I do a podcast with our head of sales, and it's called Revenue on the Rocks. We do have a drink during it, and we talk about sales and marketing alignment. So I feel like it's got to be Ben, our head of sales, is my Ross.
Perfect. So you've already dropped where people can find you, which we'll talk about more at the end. That said, Natalie, what I'm excited about is we've started to talk with a lot of people just around improving their buyer's journey. And when I think about good ABM programming, it just does really specific content and messaging that shows the target accounts their future state by working with you. And what I love about interactive demo platforms is you can just literally show it. So I'm excited to learn from you on what you're seeing work in market right now, and also just some lessons from your customers. So that said, we always dig into how did you actually find your target account list? So as you think about building a target account list for any kind of an ABM program, what are some general guideposts and general pieces of advice that you'd offer somebody?
Yeah, I'd say to give some context, we definitely do more like one-to-many ABM than one-to-one. Just given our ACV, one-to-one doesn't make as much sense. And for us, we've noticed that like hyper-specific niche industries does very well. I think part of it is because, to your point, it's like a very visual platform. So people want to see, when they can see an example of something in their industry, suddenly it clicks. So for example, like expense management was always a really good vertical for us. And it started because we got like Ramp early on as a customer. And then everyone saw the Ramp demo and was like, this is so cool. I want the same thing. So we do most of our ABM campaigns by vertical, but again, like very trying to get as niche as possible, hyper-specific vertical.
I really love that. I always say to people, it's either vertical specific or problem specific. So you solve like a very, very, very specific problem for like only a few kinds of accounts. And that's typically also then associated to growth stage. So like, for example, we started hiring. I don't have an ATS system. I did all of it through spreadsheets. And I swear if anybody had marketed me an ATS system at that time, I would have bought it in a heartbeat because it's a very specific problem based on the growth stage. So I love that framing of just let's dig into how can we get really specific based on core challenges that look exactly like all of our customers. And that's one-to-one, one-to-many, one-to-few. So I'm curious, as you then look at ways of segmenting, because yes, you could stay at like fintech, but you went all the way down to expense management. So I'm curious, how granular have you gotten from a sub-vertical perspective?
I've never measured it out, but I think we've tried to get beyond like the G2 category. That's one thing that we're trying to get even more specific than, because I think that used to be the gold standard. And we've all, you know, done the search where you go to G2, you find the competitors and you're like, oh no, these are not competitors. To give some like tooling, some shout outs. I know we use the Apollo lookalike feature and they're really good for helping us find like very niche specific other players in the space, as well as oceans.io we've used before, and all also using both their data and like automation. So I don't have the exact like sub niche level, but we really try to go as specific as possible and just see how many players are in that like sub vertical.
Even still, that just benchmark of we got more specific than G2's categories, I think is helpful, because I've seen some people that are just doing fintech as their vertical. And it's like, well, that's still like huge. That's massive. So anyway, as you then think through, once you've nailed down that sub vertical, the different distribution channels, like specifically, we've been working with quite a few that are in the construction or manufacturing space in the past couple of months. And they're like, so LinkedIn, not as prevalent. A lot of in-person stuff, a lot of direct mail stuff. So I'm curious, like, how do you then map your different distribution channels and even determine the right channels to go after?
Yeah, LinkedIn's always a good fit for us. I mean, we sell mostly, even though it's the industries might be varying, we mostly sell to marketers and product marketers. A lot of them are LinkedIn. And that's a mix of both, like, we've done LinkedIn ads as well as, like, more personalized outbound LinkedIn. We also still find events are really good for us. especially industry-specific events. So one, shout out Cyber Marketing Con and Cyber Marketing Society. That's all about cyber marketing. That's a great vertical for us. We found like going to those sort of events, if they are, especially if we can find ones that are a little more niche. And then also just try, if you can, like we do a little bit of like advisor influencer programs. This is maybe more on the persona level, but trying to find someone who resonates with people on that persona level or in that industry.
Yeah, I have seen your advisor program shouted out multiple times as probably one of the gold standards for advisor programs, because it's not fluffy. It's like you actually just get advice and take the advice and implement it into the product. And then your advisor, whoa, they actually took my advice. It's amazing. So great call out on the advisor program. And then I'm curious, for any of your customers, are there any specific thought processes or tactics that are used to specifically identify the right channel mix for an ABM program?
Honestly, we haven't done that level of like detailed analysis, partly because we do a lot of word of mouth channels. So as I mentioned, like influencer program, a lot of it's also trying to get really great customer stories from a specific vertical. So it's a little hard sometimes to say this is the exact distribution mix, because word of mouth is so much of our channel that sometimes it's hard to exactly break it down. Not the most scientific, but we've sound time and time again, like word of mouth, whether it's people literally saying word of mouth and how'd you hear about us, people saying a friend, a colleague, is our like number two lead channel.
Shoot. I mean, that means you're doing brand very well. So I will take it. I'm curious then, again, you outlined sub verticals on interactive platforms. So once you've actually identified these are the verticals that we want to go after, how are you actually getting them to your different distribution channels, and specifically inevitably getting them to the interactive demo itself?
That's where we use definitely like LinkedIn ads a good amount. And we found that interactive demos are good for LinkedIn ads. And this is also something our customers do a lot, because like when you're on a LinkedIn ad, you're not always ready to buy. Like you might be like perusing, you might be browsing. And it's like a good way to be like, oh, hey, this is not something that's as high intent as like booking a demo or a free trial. And then we can add on another layer of like segmenting down, because we also do use a lot of like signal-based platforms. Signals like, you know, are they on the website? Are they on the pricing page? Have they used our company in the past? Like a lot, or are the product in the past? A lot of different signals. But one thing we obviously use as well is the interactive demo signals. So if we target someone and then we see they went through an interactive demo, we also might learn a little more information about them. To be like, oh, they looked at this specific part of the platform. Now when I go to do like a maybe very one-to-one tailored LinkedIn message or outbound email, I now know not only just their sub-vertical, but also what part of our platform they specifically explored or are interested in.
I love the framing of using specific signals. It's most of what we do is just like signal-based activation programs. I'm curious, as you then look at their engagement in the actual interactive demo, how are you feeding those insights to sales?
Mostly through Slack alerts. And then we use Koala to like aggregate all the different signals. So we can send interactive demo signals to Koala. We can also, within Nevatic natively, send either a Slack alert or an email. We use Koala because we use multiple forms of signals. And then we have Slack channels for different reps to say, hey, someone in your target accounts, you know, went through an interactive demo. Again, maybe went through pricing. We also have a PLG motion, so we can add on PLG signals to say, hey, they started a free trial or freemium account, or maybe they built their own demo. So yeah, a lot of different signals, mostly sending through a Slack channel.
I personally have never heard of Koala. So I imagine if I haven't heard of it, some of our audience has also not heard of it. So what is Koala?
Essentially a way to aggregate all those different signals you're getting. It's like a list of your top accounts, and it will show you what's surging based off of all those different signals, as well as the fit. So if you already have some sort of like fit score, you can enter that into Koala and then see, okay, this is, you know, a surging account that's high fit. You can also segment it down by your different sub industries. So we could have different views just for the different ABM campaigns we have going on. And then a rep could go in and be like, hey, this account is surging in this specific industry and it's a great fit. Again, using it for like prioritization, that's who I should reach out to.
Okay, so I should go look up Koala after this, because that sounds awesome. So through Nevatic, you're able to source these signals through Slack or through Koala or through email, so that your reps, essentially, it sounds like essentially real-time data of, hey, this account just did this thing in an interactive demo or through a PLG motion. They're actually like using a free version of our platform. Here's how you can then personalize and nuance further outreach. Am I hearing that correctly?
Exactly. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. So I'm then curious, as you think through measurement of success, like obviously it's great that people are engaging the interactive demo, I have seen quite a few people that have a tight relationship with PLG because there's lots of signups. Sometimes the signups don't turn into conversions to actual customers. So I'm curious, like, how do you guys actually measure success using these different approaches for signal stacking?
I think something important to call out is I am measured on pipeline. So like at the end of the day, everything I measure is pipeline. So ultimately, that's what I'm looking at. Signal stacking and ABM too is how many of these accounts that are engaging are then moving throughout the funnel. I just do this all with HubSpot reporting, and I can see things like, okay, of these, you know, we put together this list of target accounts, how many of them have moved from lead to opportunity to close one. We also don't have a crazy long sales cycle. Like, we have a 30-day sales cycle. So I think that works well for us. I know a lot of people are hearing this and they're like, I have a year-long sales cycle. I can't just measure things that turn into pipeline to see if it's working. And then the other thing I'll add is I do also have some reports to see, okay, of the accounts that went through an interactive demo versus didn't, did they convert higher? Or we've broken down the different signals before to see, is there, I don't want to use the word signal again, is there indication that one signal is converting higher than the other?
The only thing I want to ask just around the sales cycle is, have you guys historically always had a 30-day sales cycle? Or has that actually been accelerated over time because of incorporation of new signals, better overall brand marketing? Or like, is it just a relatively quick sale across the board?
It's always been a relatively quick sale. It's also hard to say because as most SaaS companies, we've added more to like our more enterprise features and functionality. So even if we've gotten more efficient, I have noticed our ACVs are going up. So it's hard to say, okay, even if we're, you know, saying the same, we might be getting more efficient. It's just the nature of our sales cycles are getting a little longer, a little bigger.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, there's no way to make legal typically go faster. Like, legal's going to do what legal's going to do. So this is all helpful. And especially the call out of this is all measured towards pipeline. This is not, we don't necessarily celebrate a PQL, product qualified lead. We're celebrating they went from using the product in a free PLG motion to being interested in actually using the product across the board as a paid customer. So super helpful context. I'm curious, as you then think through, because you've, like, I know you run a lot of these programs. Like, what are some of the things that, as you've run a lot of these, are the things that have become essentially the standard operating procedure? Like, we have to do this every single time in order to make our program successful.
This is actually something we are going through right now. So even, no matter how many times we've run this, we still make mistakes with it. It's just being like hyper obsessed with following the list. Like, it's so easy in LinkedIn to, for the audience expansion to go awry, or like, it's so easy to not be paying attention to what the specific list is doing. I've had felt the best times we've done it is like, we have a very specific list. We're monitoring the accounts. We have that view of Koala. We have those alerts. I think just really knowing who you're going after, which is like one of the most basic fundamentals of ABM.
You would think, we worked with some clients that are like, so we'll do a cycle on our list every 3 months, right? And I was like, no, like, why? 3 months is like when they start to generate engagement. Like, so if you just cycle out every time, you're just burning cash unless they're ready to buy right now. So I like, it's actually a really important call out because there are still people that are calling their ABM lists quarterly focuses versus like, just, this is our ABM program. So I love that. What is something that, as you've done quite a few of these programs, is something you wish you had known before you started?
I think the signals piece, because it's so easy to spin up a LinkedIn ad campaign. And again, we've like been guilty of this recently. Like, well, I've made all these mistakes in the past few months. So we've done plenty, we still make them. But the problem is it's so top of funnel that if you don't have those mid-funnel signals, it's really hard to see if they're seeing any success or if there's anything coming from it. So I think just reminding myself to make sure we have that signal tracking in place and to be also using that, no, not the final measurement, like the final measurement is pipeline, but use the signals as indication of, is this going the right way? Is it working? Are we targeting the right people? Just something mid-funnel that you can measure, because it's super easy with ABM to spin up a bunch of ads, spin up a bunch of outbound emails, and then be like, okay, is anything happening? We don't really know. We're not converting, so guess it's not working. And to your point, it might just not be, you know, they're just being warmed up and they need some more time.
Yeah, I was recently convicted of the fact that we have really bad middle funnel. Like, we're all awareness and then we're all conversion. But there's not like, it's either you follow us on LinkedIn, you listen to the podcast or on the newsletter, or you're buying from us. And like, those are kind of the options with our marketing program right now. So yeah, that middle stage is always difficult. But I love the call out of just make sure that you actually have some tracking capabilities from a signal perspective to see these accounts are progressing. They just haven't booked a meeting yet because we're recording this in June. Like, we talked before, it's like mid Q2. So everybody's like, no, we'll just push it to Q3. Nobody's going to do anything in July. Everyone will wake up in August and be like, oh, shoot, I still have goals. And they'll buy in August and September and expect it to all work out by December. That is the cycle that we run through pretty much every year in the revenue space. So, Natalie, is there anything else that before we close out would just be, you've run quite a few programs. Is anything that you think if somebody's going to start an ABM program, they absolutely need to know this?
I do think either start with a few signals or have a way to consolidate them like Koala. Cause I have found there was a point where like we had a million Slack channels with a million different signals and we had no idea which ones were working and what wasn't. And it was almost more of a distraction than helpful. So if you have just have a way to properly organize them, and we still sometimes get feedback. It's a lot. We're working on that and trying to consolidate it, but know that like too much information can also be distracting for your reps.
How do you determine the signals to viably start with?
Part of it's just asking the sales reps, being like, what gets you really excited? Like if a prospect is X, what makes you be like, yes, they're a good fit, or your outbound team? Like they probably already know.
I love that. Half of our programs are just going to sales and saying, hey, what are you doing that's like crushing it right now? Oh, I do this. And it's like, cool. Have you told anybody that you're doing that process? They're like, well, no, I was just like doing my job. Got it. So what if we standardize that process and roll it across everyone? And that is most of our initial ABM program. It's just like standardizing really good processes that no one's documented. It's crazy.
So much of my marketing is just being like, yo, sales, what are people talking about? What are they like? Where do they live? Like sales is always my best bank of information.
I love it. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to find out more about you or Novatic, where would you point them?
This is not surprising, but as we talked about on LinkedIn a little bit too much, not as much as actual corporate Natalie, nowhere near as much, but I'm on there a good amount. And then if you want to learn about Novatic, go to novatic.com. You also see some interactive demos, not surprising, on the website, so you can get an idea of what that looks like.
I love it. Well, again, Natalie, thanks for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.